Thank you, Dwayne. You know, the Bible is filled with the thought of someone coming, someone has come, and someone is coming again. Jesus, when he ascended into the heavens, the Bible said that two men stood by him in angelic form. And as they stood there and observed the apostles of our Lord looking into the heavens, they said to the apostles, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? For this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Christ had foretold that he would come again. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, verse 1 through 6, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas, the beloved disciple, Didymus also called in the Bible, said, "But Lord, we know not the way." And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And in the book of Luke chapter 12, as you see before you this morning in verse 30, Jesus said, "You too shall be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." But Christ is coming again. He is coming back. And if that is true, and I believe it to be true with all of my heart this morning, the real question this morning is, when he comes back, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of Christ? The New Testament church, no doubt, in the first century were a little concerned about the return of Jesus. And so Paul would write to them with these encouraging words in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then Paul gives this little admonition here. He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Christ is coming again. Jesus' return has been promised in the Bible. And when you think about the return of Christ, and even though there are many today that do not believe that Jesus is going to burst the clouds of heaven someday, I am convinced that he will. And many will stand in wonderment and awe, and many will stand in shock. But the return of Jesus has been promised. He will come back. For Acts chapter 1, as I mentioned in verse 11, details it for us. And in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And we can eagerly await the return of Christ this morning. I don't know about you, but John, the beloved apostle, when he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, was so thrilled about the coming of Jesus that he could truthfully say, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 reminds us that we can. But the time is unknown. You know, through the years and in the annals of history, we will find that many people have attempted to predict that second coming of Christ. There are many today who believe that Christ is going to come very imminently. There are some who believe that perhaps it may be sometime next week. It could be sometime next month. But one thing is sure, we know not the day of his coming again. Jesus, in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, tells us that only the Father knows when he is coming again. He says, no one knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is going to come. We've had people, prognosticators through the years, who have attempted to try to predict the Lord's coming. There have been many, many people who said, well, the Lord's coming is near. But we don't really have any accurate thought of that, not according to the Bible. We do know that when he comes again, we will least expect it. There are some who believe that Jesus Christ will come at the end of 2012. Is it true? Is it true that the end will coincide with the Mayan Indian calendar? There are some who believe this. I don't know how many times I hear people talk about this, that the ancient Mayans thought that the end of the world was going to come in 2012, and no doubt there have been movies that have been made about this. Hollywood has tried to really, glamorize all of this and dramatize it, and there are many people, oddly enough, who actually believe that today, but it is not true. And for whatever reason people get ready to meet God, I hope that you will get ready to meet God if you think that's happening. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen on my timetable. It's not going to happen on the Indian timetable. I have been to see the Mayan ruins and to read about those ancient people. But I can tell you for sure they did not have any great insight as to when Jesus Christ is going to come again. It just is not found anywhere in the Holy Scriptures. And if Jesus did not let his own apostles know, he did not allow the Mayans to know either. Now, Jesus' return will be sooner than we may think, however. When is he going to come? Well, in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible talks about the fact that the Lord is at hand. Now, that at hand is an expression that you read about in the Bible that just simply means that it is near. The Bible said of John the Baptist, he went preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. It had not come to pass, but that it was nearby. These papers are near my hand right here. This Bible is near my hand. This pulpit is near my hand. Now, so when the Bible uses that expression, it is simply saying that it is nearby, and the coming of Jesus is nigh. I know one thing. When I read the Bible, I understand that there have been already three dispensations of time. There are what we call the patriarchal period, and that was that time when God actually spoke to patriarchs or to the heads of families. And then he spoke during the Mosaical time period or the Mosaical age. And then the Christian age was ushered in. And you and I are now living and residing in what we call the Christian age. But when this age is over, the world will come to an end. And the Bible says the earth will be burned up. And all the elements in the heavens that we know of, our solar system, will all be taken away with a consuming fire. And the Bible says, seeing that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? It is at hand. And God will not tarry forever, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. He will not. And the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 53, the Bible says that we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in a victory. Do you realize that a lot of people believe that death today is annihilation? There are a lot of people that believe today that when you die, that your spirit is incarcerated with you in that sarcophagus or that coffin. There are many today that do not believe that you have an eternal spirit and that when you die, you are dead all over. Not true. For the Word of God says that when we die, that our body goes back to the dust of the ground from whence it was fashioned, and our spirit back unto the God who gave it, who breathed into our nostrils the very breath of life, and we became a living soul. And Paul said, for me to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so he knew that when he left this world, that his body would be interred, that it would be burned up, or that he would be beheaded, or whatever happened to Paul. But he knew that his spirit lived on, and that it would all be reunited once again at the coming of Jesus Christ. But we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Have you ever thought about that, the twinkling of an eye? Just think about a blink. That quickly, we will be changed. And Jesus again in Revelation 22 and verse 20 said, surely I come quickly. Those are some of the last words of Jesus Christ to remind us again of his second coming. There are scoffers today who do not believe in the second coming of Christ. There are those who deny it and those who have not made preparation for it. But you know what? I've had the opportunity to be around a lot of atheists and agnostics in my life. But you know what? I have even been holding the hand of those who were atheists when they passed from this life. And one thing I noticed about them is that they wanted me at their side praying for them before they drew their last breath. I couldn't help but wonder, how atheistic are you? How much in denial are you of a supreme being? It was Ingersoll, the great atheist, who made the statement, "Oh God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul." I'm telling you this morning, there is a God, and you have a soul. And Christ is coming. And he is coming quickly. But the return of Jesus is one with clear purpose. Now, there are many today that would tell you that Christ is coming to set up a kingdom here upon this earth. And that he's going to set up some kind of new world order. And everybody's going to take part in this world order. Not so. Not according to the Bible. There are some who say there's going to be a rapture. That is, Christ is going to come again and he's going to snatch some of us up into heaven and the rest of us will live here 1,000 years. Not so. Not according to the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible in the book of John 5, 28 and 29 talks about it in this way. He said, "All that are in their graves will hear his voice and will come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And when the Bible talks about the judgment in the book of Matthew 25, 31 through 46, it talks about it in terms of all nations being gathered before God in heaven. Not just a few. Nowhere in the Bible is the word rapture ever mentioned. But people talk about it as though the rapture is mentioned over and over and over in the Holy Scriptures. I challenge you to find the word rapture in the Bible. It's not there. Nor is the concept there, because the Bible talks about when Jesus comes again, that we'll all be raised and that we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Where people believe that God is going to take some and leave others here upon this earth is ridiculous. It just is not true. And when it comes to things that are of an eternal nature, I want to know truth. I don't know about you. I want to know truth. And Jesus is truth. He is coming with a clear purpose. He is coming to reward according to our works. Now that's what Christ said in the book of Matthew 16 and verse 27. Jesus again, the book of Revelation said, "And my reward is with me when I come again." He is coming to separate the sheep from the goats, according to Matthew 25 and verse 32 and Matthew chapter 13. When he talked about that judgment scene, he talked about the fact again that all nations will be gathered, and he likened the evil unto those who were goats. And he likened those who were righteous as sheep. Jesus, you remember, said, "I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And I know them by name, and they know me. And no man enters into heaven except by the sheepfold." And Jesus is that sheepfold this morning. And he is coming to divide them. And the Bible says that the unrighteous will go into an everlasting punishment or a hellfire. But the righteous will enter into life, and Jesus will say, "Come, you blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But Jesus is coming not only to separate the sheep from the goats, but he is coming to judge the living and the dead, according to Paul when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He said the time would come when they would depart from the Word of God. But Jesus is the judge of the quick. That is, those who are alive and those who have already gone on. He is the great and just judge. And he is coming, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, to destroy the world and its works. Peter described it this way, that he will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall melt with fervent heat, and the works of the earth also shall be burned up. Some believe that when Christ is coming again, he's going to regenerate the earth, kind of like it was back during the days of Noah. God flooded the earth. And then he restored it with life. But that's not what the Word of God teaches here. The Bible says that the earth and the works therein, not only the works upon the earth, but the earth itself shall melt with fervent heat. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. You may not understand how dirt can burn. But I'm going to tell you something. If God can create it, God can take it out of the way. And he is going to destroy it. It will be no more. Well, that brings us to a very serious question this morning. How do we prepare for the second coming of Jesus? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know I'm not facetious enough to believe that everybody believes everything that I'm telling you up here, but I'm telling you it's from the Word of God. Now, whether you believe it or not, sometimes people listen to it and they do nothing with it. I heard about a lawyer and a doctor and a preacher who went out hunting one time. And they were out in the woods and they were deer hunting. And a deer jumped out in front of them. They were all in different stands. And they all saw that deer and they all fired at the same time. And they all jumped out of their stands and rushed down there to that deer. And every one of them were claiming that they were the ones who shot that deer. There was a big argument that ensued over who killed the deer. They decided that they would call the game warden and get the game warden out there and let him make that decision. They called the game warden. He came out very quickly, looked at the deer, and he said, "Well, I can tell you who killed the deer." And they all stood in astonishment. And the game warden said, "The preacher killed the deer." And they said, "Well, how do you know?" And the game warden said, "Well, the bullet went in one ear and out the other." Now, I know that's what happens. I know that's what happens with folks. Sometimes they listen to the Word of God. It goes in one ear and right on out the other. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You don't have to believe my word. Believe this word. It's true. And I'll point you to the truth every time, folks. What I'm telling you this morning is not opinion. It is the truth of Almighty God. It is not the doctrines of men, but it is truth. And Christ is coming again. How do we prepare? Well, we need to be ready for His coming. Jesus said that, "Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible tells us of a man who made ready. He made ready for the coming of Christ again. The Ethiopian. He wanted to be baptized for the remission of sins. He said, as they're riding along in that chariot in that desert area, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. And the Bible says that they both came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian, or the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. When one obeys the word of God, there is reason to rejoice, because one has made ready. We are to be busy according to Christ in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, to be ready. But to be busy, God doesn't want us just to stand here gazing into the heavens. That's what He told the apostles, wasn't it? Why do you gaze into the heavens? Just keep on living your life and keep on serving God. For He's coming again, and we ought to be busy. There's an old song that we sing that says, "Say, when He comes, will He find us watching and waiting and working and serving our Master?" We are to be patient according to James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Patient unto the coming of the Lord. Don't lose heart. That's what He's saying. And we are to be of sound judgment and sober mind and sober spirit, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Be of sound judgment. And be hopeful. You know, hope is a wonderful thing. If I had to think this morning that all there is to life and living is the here and now, I would be miserable. Paul said that too, by the way, when he wrote to the early church. He said, "If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the resurrection. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the time when we can be together again around the great throne of God. But to think I had to go to my grave and my loved ones never ever see me again, and I never ever see them again, and I never ever gaze upon the face of the one who died and shed His blood for me, I would be most miserable. And Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "It's all right to cry. It's all ready to get upset, okay to get upset over someone who has departed from this life." But he says, "Listen, sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." And then we are to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. That's how I prepare. You see, and it's not my message, it's the message of Christ. Jesus said this is the way we prepare for His coming. It's by believing in Him to be the Son of God with all of your heart. Every piece of your being, every fiber that is within you believes, your heartbeat believes in the coming of Jesus and that He is the Son of God. And with penitent hearts, we change our lifestyle to conform to the will and the ways of God. And we confess the name of Jesus, and then we are lowered in water, just as Jesus was placed in the tomb. Can you imagine how ridiculous it would be for Jesus to die? And the apostles say, "Well, you know, He's going to be resurrected anyways. No need to put Him in the tomb. We'll just leave Him out of the tomb. I don't see any reason why He needs to be in the tomb." That's about how ridiculous it is when people say, "I don't understand how you let a dead man live out here. You bury a dead man. And spiritually speaking, what you do is you take a man who is dead to sin and you bury that man in the likeness of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and he comes up out of that water just as Jesus came out of that tomb with a new life And that's what happens to us, folks, when we obey the gospel of Christ. I know there's some who are thinking this morning, hey, I'm having the time of my life. And I know it. I know the way people think and how they live. People go through life and they talk about all the zest that they have and all the wonderful things that are going on in their life. And that's great and that's fine, and I'm telling you that's wonderful. But one of these days you're going to answer another question. Were you ready for the coming of Jesus? Whether you believe it or not, the clock of life is winding down for you. It is. I don't know how long you have to live, but the clock is winding down. And you cannot push, restart, or start again. It's winding down. And you are in a race against time. You are running against the clock. I am running against the clock. And I will run. And I will run. But someday, the race will be over. And the end will come. And Jesus Christ will come. He will. He will descend from heaven, as the Bible says. And when he descends, would there be something you might want to take care of? In preparation of his coming, sins that might need to be confessed, wrongs that might need to be made right, or perhaps the rededication of your life unto Jesus. I know one thing, when he comes again, it will be too late. Too late to make preparation. He is coming back. Would you be gazing into the heavens and watching with great love for his coming? And will you be running to him, or will you be running from him with great fear and apprehension? He is coming back. Jesus taught, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. And if Jesus said it, should I not obey this command? Am I at liberty to augment it in any way? Am I at liberty to change it? I am at liberty, some say, to disregard this one. Are you? Not according to the Bible. But the Bible says in Revelation 14, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. There's a real serious question that all of us face this morning. Am I ready? Am I ready for baptism? Now, I can tell you this morning, if you're not a baptized believer, I can tell you this morning whether or not you're ready to be baptized. Some are not ready to be baptized. And I understand that. But I can tell you how you can know most assuredly whether you are or not. Question number one. You will either answer yes or no to this question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Jesus said in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come." Do you believe in Jesus to be God's Son? But secondly, are you repentant over the life that you have lived? And are you ready to make whatever changes God's Word requires of you? You see, if you're not ready to make changes, just believing in Jesus isn't going to get you there, folks. It wouldn't do you any. You could get wet all day long. You could be dipped 100 times. And if you don't have a heart that is penitent, it will be to no avail. And then thirdly, are you ready to confess before this audience this morning and to the world that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you can answer yes to all of these questions this morning, then I would ask you the question that Ananias asked Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Some are ready, but some are not. Can you humble yourself this morning as a little child? Can you? And become like that child, trusting and giving your life to Jesus? I know one thing. Christ is coming again. And if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sin, and if I have not, I'm not ready for Christ to come. It's a very serious issue. It is. And the question again, will you let us this morning help you make ready for His coming? It is absolutely the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. It is. It is the most important decision. And I challenge you this morning, if you're not a baptized believer, to come this morning and obey God. Tomorrow could be too late. And if that decision is that important, why would you hesitate? Why would you delay? Why would you put it off, knowing that even this day your lips could be silenced in death? It is important. I hope you understand the importance of this decision. I hope it's one that you weigh, and I hope it's one that you obey, and I hope you hear the call of heaven while we stand and while we sing.